watching and or listening to OccupySkidRow.us, a weekly VeteransNewsNet.us feature presented every Tuesday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time, live at SkidRowStudios.com. We invite you to join our discussion now. Call us at 1-800-893-9562 or text us at 310-266-9465. And now, here's your host, Chaplain Willis Buddy Clark Jr.
Well, how did you like that opening with Peace Now? Isn't that kind of neat? Well, we have some surprise guests here tonight. We have a young man here that looks exactly like Tom Cruise in Top Gun. So girls, stay tuned, okay? His name is Tommy. Next to Tommy is Rose. Next to Rose is Stephen Fisk. And right over there, the man who makes this program possible, okay, Jeff Norman. And over here is Scotty Bauer. Scotty, you're on.
Hey, buddy. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us tonight. I want to jump right in with a introduction of Stephen Fisk, who is has a website, stephenfisk.com. He is a musician, an interfaith minister, and a peace activist. He is part of the Interfaith Communities for Justice and Peace, and also part of the Unity and Diversity World Council, and one of the sponsors of the resolution for Los Angeles to become an international cities of peace. So that's who I've asked to join us this evening, and hopefully we'll be talking a little bit about that resolution some more, buddy.
Only if you want to. And you know what I like about that is I'd like you and Stephen to have a little dialogue about that, because when it goes to the council, to the mayor and so forth, I think it'll be interesting, too, because they will change it a little bit, of course. Everybody will. But it's well written. When I get my teeth well written, okay, speak the speech, I pray thee, trippingly upon the tongue.
Right, right.
I got it. Okay. So right now, I'd like to, we've got a little bit of time here rolling through here, so let's talk a little bit about that resolution while we can, okay?
All right. The resolution is designed so that Los Angeles can proclaim themselves an international city of peace. And there's aspects of that that promote September 21st as the International Day of Peace is recognized by the United Nations and recognizes the citizens for putting forth programs in the future and as of now to promote peace, some of that being what Stephen is doing already with his organizations, what I'm doing with Peace Now, what Rotary International is doing for peace, and also Mama Hill. She is a...
she's a trip. She's really great.
She is.
What's the name again?
Mama Hill's Help is her website. But what she's doing is after 30 years of teaching in Los Angeles schools, she had estimated that 2,000 of her students had either been killed or been involved and dropped out through the drugs. And
2,000.
That was over a career of 30 years that she had. So when she retired, she opened up her home to provide tutoring, to provide love, to provide meals, to just...
Shelter.
Yep.
Just in many areas.
That's right. And her organization has nurtured children in her neighborhood.
Where is she located?
I believe it's on 96th Street, but I'm new to Los Angeles, so
it's okay.
I don't know the exact...
Mama Hill.
Mama Hill's Help is her website. And she's one of the sponsors of the resolution. So when we reached out to the community and we looked for organizations that they don't have to be necessarily involved in world peace, mm-hmm. in trying to disarm everything. Peace starts right within ourselves and within our communities. And what she is doing is just as important for peace as what we're doing in our resolution and our effort to get departments of peace within every government.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Tommy. Tommy is a volunteer. We were on the beach. Scotty and I were on the beach with a tent down there. And Tommy came by. And so we have a little slot there. You can sign up if you want to volunteer. Well, I just thought he was just some nut, you know what I mean, off the street. But the more I talked with him, I said, you know, he's kind of a nice nut. I think maybe he has something to say and something to do. So, Tommy, give us a little bit about your background.
Thanks, buddy. I moved to California from West Virginia through a hitchhiking adventure, and have been in Los Angeles loving life and working on becoming at peace with every moment and spreading love through everything I do. That's all I want to do.
Now, girls, I want you to tune in and watch us on YouTube. This guy is a dead ringer for Tom Cruise in Top Gun.
Thanks,
so
buddy.
You want to watch the program, you don't have to look at me. Please don't. But this guy is really beyond handsome, okay?
I think now, I'm reevaluating my own sexuality right now.
Well, you know, it's about
amazing.
Time you
I've
did
never
that.
Seen anything like that.
Hey, listen, can you get a toupee like that?
Oh, gosh.
Okay, Tommy, if you will, play your piece and talk about it, all right?
Thank you, buddy, I will. All right. This is a song that I wrote for a man named Thich Quang Duc, who, during the Vietnam War, he was a Buddhist monk, and the South Vietnamese regime was persecuting Buddhists pretty cruelly. And this brave man was an advocate for peace who, on a very world-changing day in 1963, caught himself on fire in the middle of the street. And that was to bring light to the plight of the Buddhists that was currently happening. So this is a song in honor of him called Edge.
He had capsaicin racing through his veins beneath his skin as the flames ate away his carbon chains and oxygen. His mind above the heat, he sat and burned so peacefully for us and love and light and peace. He set himself ablaze in the middle of the street. Shone in the eyes of all who watched him smoke were pivotal to changing up the ebb and flow of all of time, and all our minds were changed that day as rivers formed from new cascades, as glaciers push lake waters to the edge. Let's reach the edge where we've had enough and turn our bodies into dust and tune our minds into one love. God, take these blackened hearts from us. God, take these blackened hearts from us. God, take these blackened hearts from us and raise them. Words spoke by Thich Quang Duc before he caught the spark that caught so many people's hearts. He prayed for life, infinite light, for you and I, so you and I could follow what we felt was right to lead us right. Let's reach the edge where we've had enough and turn our bodies into dust and tune our minds into one love. God, take these blackened hearts from us. God, take these blackened hearts from us. God, take these blackened hearts from us. God, take these blackened hearts from us and raise them up. And raise them up. In the middle of the street in 1963, to end corrupt oppression and to spread equality, a martyr for the cause was bathed in gasoline as he sat Lotus style and the people came to see. He knew he was nobody, or rather nobody was he. He lived his life to reunite the pieces of eternity. In one life, in one love, in one soul.
If you could look into my eyes, you would see tears. The first thing I saw in combat as a young Marine, 19 years old, I've just come fresh from the United States, and I saw a body without limbs, without legs, burned, blackened. I saw a body burned and blackened without limbs. Then the next thing I saw down the line were planes flying in with napalm and hitting bunkers and men flying in the air, blackened, burning to death. So that touches my heart. Unreal, unbelievably, what happens in war, and simply because in this monk personified all of that to a team. Jeff, I think we have a few problems here regarding things coming up. When is our break coming up?
In a couple of minutes. I think we're okay. I'm not sure what you
we're
mean.
Okay.
I'm feeling like it's great.
Can you talk to Jeff? Okay, talk to Jeff. Yeah, let him know what's going on. So that's okay. This is a show that we just talk about what we're doing. And, you know, Stephen, could you relate to this song? Because I'm watching you listening and so forth, and you have an enormous experience in music and poetry and so forth. I wonder if you could share with Tommy your feelings.
Well, it just brings back memories of those days when the country was torn apart by the Vietnam War, and we were able to see on television for really the first time what was going on. And the napalm, the body bags, and the self-immolations. It raised the hackles of a young generation that realized that the government was pulling the wool over our eyes, and that this war was based on lies, and that these young people were dying for what? Were being called up to serve for what they thought was the righteousness of this country, but what in fact was really what? We didn't know what. And so it caused a tremendous turmoil and was just part of the revolution that happened in the 1960s. It was the deepest part of a painful time. And for me, it was a very painful time because I was in school. I had my student deferment. I had my scholarship. but I was opposed to the war. And when I was out of school, I had to decide what I was going to do, because then I was eligible for the draft. And things like that, that were described in the song, were indelible imprints in our consciousness, in our memory. And something was terribly wrong. Something was terribly wrong, and I did not want to participate in it. I felt a conscience arising, which was born out of the civil rights movement, really, with when Dr. Martin Luther King led the march, the Great March on Washington in 1963, and then later on spoke so strongly against the Vietnam War. But it showed, the civil rights movement showed that a unified consciousness united around a people's movement could change history. And that's what happened.
Well, you know, during that time, I was back from Korea, and I was all over New Mexico, and we had the peace, what people called the peaceniks. Now, I never thought anything about them, except they were just people who didn't want to go to war. And so we had the hog farm, we had all kinds of things in New Mexico going on at that particular time. So, and I was doing a lot of television, so I was so busy, engrossed in television, doing what I'm doing. But back to, I very seriously thought about when they activated our Marine Corps Reserve outfit. I went to my pastor, Ralph, and I said, "Ralph, I don't really want to kill anybody." And so he said, "Well, the Hebrew says, when thou shalt not kill," he said, "that's interpreted, that shall not commit premeditated murder." Well, I bought into that. I wish I hadn't, for a lot of reasons, because I've killed way too many people. And war is just that it, because right now the Pope is pleading with what's going on in Palestine and Gaza. "Please just stop fighting." He's pleading for everybody, just please stop it. And I don't know why. We're not able to stop this cycle of war. Scotty, how do you think we do that?
Well, one thing that I know is that the current reiteration of war is inconsequential. And I mean that in not in the death or the suffering, but in the reasons that we use to justify the destruction of one another, whether it is what's going on in the Middle East or with Russia or with Vietnam and what Tommy was singing about, or going to Korea where you were at. Every time there is the rattle of sabers, it's justified with whatever reason that's needed at that time. Some of them valid, some of them not. But the bottom line is, it is a failure of humanity when we choose war. We have said that whatever logic, whatever communication, whatever humanity that we use to be part of each other, that that has failed. And so the only thing left at that point is the decision to kill. And at that point, we have failed. So I never say that what we have at Peace Now are the solutions. All I know is that what we're doing isn't working. Because if the Korean War had the solution, then we wouldn't have been in Vietnam. And if the Vietnam War was the solution, then we wouldn't have been in the Middle East. So if the definition of stupidity is doing the same thing over and over again that doesn't work, then war is the ultimate stupidity, because if it worked, the previous one would have fixed everything.
Well, there are a lot of bumper stickers going around for years, and one of them actually says war is not the answer. Rose, you're very quiet over there.
No, war is not the answer. In fact, I'll just come right out and say it. That's why I voted for Obama, because I didn't want war. That was one of the main reasons. What's going on? Okay. I've said it many times in certain classes that I've taken, that all throughout history, and history can repeat itself, unfortunately, but war is not the answer. Separating and dividing and conquer isn't the answer either. People have got to learn to somewhat coexist. We all have our boundaries, but peace is so much in need right now, and that's such a great organization name, Peace Now, because it's very true, and we are in need of that. And choosing that direction when we are faced with choices, it isn't easy to choose.
Okay. All right, do have the video that you can play whenever you want. Just want to let you know.
Okay, well, listen, let's take a little break, okay?
Okay.
Can we do that? Let's take a little break, all right?
All right.
Take your phones off.
Break time.
It'll be about 30 seconds, okay?
Watching and or listening to OccupySkidRow.us, a weekly Veterans News Net.us feature presented every Tuesday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time, live at SkidRowStudios.com. We invite you to join our discussion now. Call us at 1-800-893-9562 or text us at 310-266-9465. And now, here's your host, Chaplain Willis Buddy Clark Jr.
Can we see by the one light in all our earth to embrace at the call of all nations, where our children can play in a world without war? Where we stand hand in hand in the grace of creation, where the rivers run clean through the forests of green, where the cities stand tall in the clear skies of freedom. Oh, say do our hearts sing out for harmony and love forever on the planet. Blessed with peace on earth.
Stephen, could you share how you had such a vision as to write the composition?
That was beautiful.
Well, in thinking about the kind of things we're talking about in terms of peace and the future of our planet, it just seems to me that we have seen a long history of war after war after war, and violence only begets more violence. And, you know, the Star Spangled Banner as a song, it's interesting in the folk music history of it, because the melody itself comes from an old English drinking song that was sung in taverns throughout colonial America. And so when Francis Scott Key wrote those words that we know as the Star Spangled Banner, it was written to the melody of that old English drinking song, and it was descriptive of the Battle of Fort McHenry at the harbor of Baltimore during the War of 1812, when the British were trying to bomb the smithereens out of Fort McHenry after they had already burned Washington, D.C. And so as he observed this bombardment and saw the rockets flying through the air and the American flag standing over the fort, and every rocket burst showed the American flag, he was inspired to write the words we know as the Star Spangled Banner, which celebrated victory. Today, I think we need to really question most deeply whether war is, in fact, a way to resolve any differences of any kind in the 21st century, and where we don't need bombs bursting in air anymore. Let us embrace a world where we embrace peace, and where we embrace a sustainable future, and where our children can grow up without the fear of drive-by shootings, or their house being bulldozed, or bombs being dropped in the street, or face the horrors of death and destruction through war. That must be obsolete. Violence must be obsolete. We must embrace a new vision. We must rethink, reinvent the way in which we live on this planet. The current economic reality, the current reality of military spending and economic disparity and corporatocracy rather than true democracy is not sustainable. This is not sustainable. And so we have to rethink, we have to reevaluate where we are, and we have to convert. The process of conversion is not easy, because we've got an economy that's based upon fossil fuel addiction and war building. So it's a little bit like an insane asylum on this planet right now. And where are the peacemakers? Where are the ones who really know what it means to be free? Free from tyranny, free from destruction, free from the annihilation of our beautiful planet, which is only here to support life. So that's the inspiration that comes behind a verse like that.
For sharing that with us now. While you're getting ready for your guitar to play something for it, play whatever you like. And Scotty, why don't you talk while he's getting his guitar ready?
Well, everything that Stephen just said, I would agree with totally. And in specific, one thing that he mentioned about the war economies. At Peace Now, one of our programs is to encourage peace economies. In fact, our petition has, as a second aspect of it, the economic conversion from military to civilian production, and more generally create economies of peace, is so as to beat our swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. So I applaud what you're doing and in your wisdom, Stephen. So take it away with your music.
The issue that's heavy on our hearts these days, of course, is what's going on in Israel and Palestine, but there's so many hot spots in the world right now. It's very overwhelming. When I started to write songs back in the 1960s, I was really inspired by Martin Luther King, as I mentioned before, and his nonviolent tactics for social change. And it impacted me deeply. And being part of that movement, I was just a young man, 15, 16 years old in 1963, but I went down to Washington, D.C. I saw the Great March. I heard the speech by Martin Luther King. I sang the songs of freedom, the songs of that movement. And I was forever impressed at how people, not just the politicians, but people can gather together and make a difference for a cause that we truly believe is right. So I'm going to sing a song that I wrote about that experience, the Great March in 1963.
Summer day, 1963. The Great March for Civil Rights took on Washington, D.C. They marched for freedom, they marched for jobs, they marched for dignity. They marched for the conscience of a nation, for justice and equality. Washington that day. Hear the Reverend Dr. King lift his voice and say, I have a dream, and we witnessed history. Now it's up to all of us to carry legacy. So we're singing, we carry the dream of the way this world could be. We carry the dream of the way this world could be.
took me through history. Okay. And I was reliving it the way you were reliving it. So, but let's not relive it again. Let's live in freedom and peace through that. Jeff, I want to hear from you.
Man, that is a rocking good tune. How old is that song?
Well, I actually wrote it about 5 years ago or so.
So what does somebody like you do nowadays to connect with an audience? I mean, to what extent do you kind of interweave it with your advocacy versus just doing concerts and whatnot?
Well, I think my advocacy is always there. As far as, you know, just connecting with audiences, it's just like this. To me, it's just like talking to somebody. You just go up and say what you have to say and sing what you have to sing. And, you know,
you don't have a big rider with a certain kind of vodka and pretzels and M&Ms that you require. You just need a couple of people in front of you, and that's enough.
Generally, that's right. Yeah. It doesn't matter to me whether it's one-on-one or one-on-thousands. What's important is showing up and standing true in the integrity of what you believe in. And just trying to live that, as Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world. And there was a quote on the wall of that wall when you come in here and you sit down on that couch and you look at this wall with, you know, all these words written on it. And the quote said something like, when you change the way you think, you'll change the things that you think about. Something like that.
Right,
that's
like
not
that.
Directly it, but, you know, that's the way it is. We have to change the way we think.
You mentioned Gandhi. Did Buddy tell you about the mural that Jules Monk made?
I will right now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Is that a perfect segue or what?
I knew that coming up. Thank you for the segue. Well, on the corner of 7th and Gladys is a mural. And that mural is just above a body shop. Now, Jules Monk is becoming a world-class, if she already isn't, muralist. You see her murals all over Venice. She paints in green.
She lives around the corner from me.
Well, you know who she is. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
There we go. So we asked her if she could do that, and all of a sudden, lo and behold, within less than 24 hours, she had it up and running and finished in time to come here for our program last week. Jules is phenomenal. Now, we have other places coming up. We're going to have, let's see, Scotty, we're going to have coming up next will be, we have Gandhi. Next will be John Lennon, okay? And then we kind of go back and forth on who we want to have next. So who do you think we should have next? Let's talk about it. Scotty, you're not in, okay? Rose, who should be next?
Well, I think we should bring on a very good friend of mine who is an artist.
Okay.
Her name is Hyla.
Oh, you're talking about the program. We're talking about the wall.
Oh, excuse me. Okay.
She's not ready for the wall yet,
all
but
right.
She could be, okay?
Oh, she could be.
So who should be up on the wall next?
Well, I think you in this location, you could start with Cesar Chavez.
And okay, go ahead.
That would be a good one to have. And he was also an advocate of nonviolence and used those same tactics that Martin Luther King championed.
I was with Cesar Chavez when he broke the fast. Mm-hmm. I was there at that particular time, and Jesse Jackson was there. And we were there in what, Delano? Yeah, doing that. And it was, he had just broken the fast. And the most interesting thing is, Jesse Jackson can kind of come and go, but I felt he really related to what Cesar was doing. And ABC lost the plug. And they couldn't go on the air without that plug. I had that particular connection. So they came to me and says, what do you want for that connection? I said, oh, I don't know, about $5,000. Mm-hmm. I was kidding, of course. I said, you put him on the air right now. Here's the connection. So, but to watch what happened in there, the interchange of people and the realness, because this man came up from nowhere and became a leader. So anyone can come up from, quote, nowhere and be a leader. Just stand up and speak out. So,
I'm lobbying for Johnny Cash.
Okay.
Okay, that's good.
You know, Gandhi and Cesar Chavez, Martin Luther King, mm-hmm. You know, no arguing with that. These are icons, but we've heard it before. You know, I'm not so sure that everybody always remembers Johnny Cash in that way. So I sort of like the uniqueness of that, and I like how he appeals to a broad cross-section of the population, including, you know, people who've had really rough lives. Prisoners love him. veterans. Well, he is a veteran.
I financed a movie, put together financing for Johnny Cash. It's called The Gunpipe. Now, the most interesting thing on the set, he was married, of course, to June Carter Cash. So if you got within 30 feet of that woman, you could feel her. I mean, she had such charisma and love in her heart. You could just feel that woman's love. So that really changed Johnny Cash a lot, a whole lot. See that? So, and then I'll tell you this one thing. I got all the takeouts, okay? So they shot it in New Mexico, and in the scene where Johnny Cash has got a team of horses, and he got these traces in his hands, traces where you control all the horses. The horses wouldn't move, so Johnny Cash said, "Get up, yo, ha, hush, wah, wah, wah." And all of a sudden, I'm not going to use the swear words he used, but man, they laid their ears back and they moved. So those kind of things happen, but it's a small, small world on what's going on. Rose, who do you think now you should have? Have you come to that yet?
Well, somebody did cross my mind. I think her story is very interesting, and I'm sure everybody's heard it. Rosa Parks?
Rosa Parks, okay. Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to say Donald Sterling. you never fail to fool me.
Who knows? Who knows? Tommy, who would you have?
I think Albert Einstein would be a great role.
Yes, I agree.
That's a good one.
Great mind, good. A great voice for love and peace and understanding. Beautiful man.
By the way, you folks can call in at 800-893-9562 and vote, because we're going to be having voting coming down on what you would like to see, who you'd like to see on these peace walls, who's coming up through that. So anyone else have a favorite they'd like to put up?
I don't want to have a favorite, but I do. You said that the Jules Muck mural was at Gladys and 7th. It's actually at Circe's and 7th. It's block east of Gladys, between 6th and 7th.
We have a very nice photo of it. You want to see if we can get Jenny to bring that up for us? And the very handsome host of this show, Marine veteran, chaplain, Buddy Clark, is in the photo.
Well, there we are.
Jenny's on the phone right now. I think there it is.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we should have Buddy and Scotty on there.
Well, our fingerprints will be all over it, I guarantee you.
and God's fingerprints are over
those. Oh, absolutely. His imprint is everything that we do coming through on that. Well,
all you need.
How many more people do you think we should have? Well, what we'd like to do is maybe do these peace walls all over the world.
I think that's a great idea.
And it can happen.
Yes.
It can happen. And I would like to see Pope Francis up there do that. And then, who else?
Well, it just actually depends on the culture and the country where we're coming from.
Sure.
You know that we're going to Seoul, South Korea in September to speak at an international summit on peace. And your and I goal is to have a mural in Seoul. And we're in the process of researching that now. And then I also have a gentleman that does a lot of business in Thailand. And they're in the process of trying to get us a wall in Bangkok. And then the king who's still alive there is revered by the people of Thailand and has been an advocate for peace. Kind of depends on where we're at.
I've been to Thailand, and the king indeed is, he's worshipped through there. Now, as related to that, coming through Thailand and so forth, now we come up with some really interesting stuff when we're talking together, Scott and myself. Tell them about the volleyball game.
Oh, no.
Yeah, please.
Well, this would be only for Venice Walk. You put me on the spot. We came up with an idea of a mural where Christ and Muhammad and Buddha and the all the relevant and ultimate religious icons would be playing volleyball against a team of evil demons or aspects of evil. And we thought that the Christ could be setting the ball and Muhammad would be going up for a spike on the to spike the ball of love right into the demons on the other side. So
Rose, you just got to say something. Go for it, okay?
Me?
Yeah, I thought you had something to say.
Oh, earlier I was just going to say I don't think we should ever forget Princess Diana.
Okay, that's
well,
good.
Well, in those regards, excuse me.
Oh,
go ahead.
Let's
not forget, I think the Walls of Peace is a fabulous idea, great idea. And let's not forget women.
Absolutely. Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa or Harriet Tubman or Rosa Parks, as you had mentioned.
I would love to see.
Eleanor Roosevelt, on and on. There's,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Abigail Adams.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any other women that want to speak up? So.
And I would love to see Yalta Menuhin up there. I really would.
Okay.
That is Lionel's mother.
Mm-hmm.
She was a classical pianist, and her brother was Yehudi Menuhin.
Mm-hmm.
And she did so much that people really don't know so much about. They do, but not quite as much.
Okay, now it's time for our shout-outs.
Uh-oh.
And the shout-outs are where we talk about people that advertise and so forth. I'd like to do a shout-out for Jules Muck. Okay? What a wonderful artist. I mean, incredible artist. I'd like to do a shout-out for Tommy, okay? And I'd like to do a shout-out for Mr. Fisk, and a shout-out for them. And then a shout-out for the group. Last Saturday, we fed over 2,000 people in Gladys Park. And the name of that group is Help the Homeless, Operation Help the Homeless. And next week, we'll have some people on who will talk about that. Oh, speaking of next week, I am going to get a massage on the air.
Well.
Now, here's two things. I can either keep my clothes on or take them off. Now, the only way I'm going to know is for you to call in and vote. Keep your clothes on or take them off.
Oh,
so whatever, the people who vote the most, I'll do it, okay? But I might be undercover. He's going to bring in a massage table and actually massage me. And then if you want a massage, just he'll come around and massage you. Okay, and his name is Robert Jones,
okay.
And Robert will be coming. Any more shout-outs?
Very good. I'd like to give a shout-out for a new book that I'm reading. It's called The Things They Carried by Tim O'Brien. It begins by describing an event that occurred in the middle of his Vietnam experience. The Things They Carried catalogs the variety of things his fellow soldiers in the Alpha Company brought on their mission. Several of these things are intangible, including guilt and fear, while others are specific physical objects, including matches, morphine, M16 rifles, and M&M's candy. It's quite a read.
That's quite a read. It really is. Mm-hmm. Tommy?
If I could say anything, I would like to give a shout out to Course in Miracles, which is
Marianne.
Thank you.
I have to go.
I would. Okay. Shout out to A Course in Miracles, which is a philosophy geared toward love, universal, starting with yourself and extending to your brothers and sisters to encompass the whole universal family. It's a great way to inspire acceptance for where we find ourselves. And I don't know what more to say about it, except it's definitely worth looking at.
I have a group with group therapy, and so we always say, stay around for the miracle. Okay, we need to wrap it up right now, so we're going to go into a close, do that. Anything, but just keep talking, but the music will come up, okay?
Can I play my friend's song?
No.
No?
You can? How much time do we have left?
Two minutes.
Oh,
okay. Well, go ahead. Well, we got a minute. Go ahead.
Well, I'd like to give a shout out to the International Day of Peace coming up September 21st, and the proclamation that has been proposed for the city of Los Angeles to be a city of peace, and for Peace Sunday, which is an event taking place on September 21st, which was actually started in 1982, which will be taking place at the Iman Cultural Center on Motor Avenue in West L.A. And everyone should come. Declare for peace.
I'll second that.
Watching and or listening to OccupySkidRow.us with Chaplain Willis Buddy Clark Jr., a weekly VeteransNewsNet.us feature presented every Tuesday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time, live at SkidRowStudios.com. For more information and all of our past episodes, please go to OccupySkidRow.us. Thank you for joining us.